Hey, I want to start with a quote today. It comes from Madeline Rivera, and she said this. She said, some of the best times of your life will be as a parent, and some of the worst times of your life will be as a parent. Y'all agree with that? She also said that sometimes the only difference between those two will be 30 minutes. You're like, who is Madeline Rivera? Nobody. I shouldn't say nobody because she's just a mom. She's just a mom. And I tell you this because moms are really prophetic. They really are. And the amount of information they give us sometimes is too much, but it's okay. But man, we love moms, and today we're here to celebrate them. Today we're here to celebrate Mother's Day, right? Mother's Day. Mother's Day, that's Mother's Day with an apostrophe S, not a plural S, right? Because you see the name Ann Jarvis, the lady Ann Jarvis, she said, because Mother's Day has been around forever, right? But only in America for the last couple of hundred years. Actually, since the 1920s, I think, so 100 years. She wanted to make sure that mothers were honored in each of our families, not as a blanket, not as a cast out and say, Mother's Day, but Mother's Day, that each family honored their mother, because that's what the Bible called, right? Honor thy mother. And so it's not lost on me that Mother's Day that we find ourselves in church celebrating this, because it was designed as a holy holiday. She wanted it that way. It was founded by the church. Did you know? Well, you guys know that I've been like all over the country, right? You know, in every place I've lived, I've learned there's certain different acronyms for mothers. You guys had enough acronyms? LOL. Shaking my head, SMH. How about TLDR? This is what you guys do when you look at me. It was too long, so I didn't read it. In the Northeast, they use the word mom, and it stands made for money. That pretty much goes anywhere, don't it? In the South, you guys are going to love this one. It means must obey me. I know, I live that. On the left coast, where I came from, it says maker of me, because we're all about me, right? But I really didn't have anything because I haven't lived in this part. What do we call this part? The Midwest? Is this the mid-central? What are we? I'm geographically challenged right now. The heartland. Let's just start there. I didn't know. I looked around and I'm like, what do we say about this? How about this? How about most outstanding mother? You guys buy into that today? Huh? Are moms not the most outstanding people that we know? Mothers have to wear so many hats, don't they? And they do so much more than we could ever possibly thank them for. Let me give you, so there was a science teacher, right? He was talking about magnets. And so he gave this whole thing, this whole lesson on magnets. And so the next day he gave a quiz. And he says, I want you guys to name this. He said, it starts with an M and has six letters and picks up things. Half the class wrote mother. But moms is more than this. Mom is a. It's more than just a day that we give mom a day to where she doesn't have to do anything, and she gets her feet rubbed once a year. When God says, "Honor thy mother," He had a greater thing involved in that, right? You see, because every one of us in here, represents God's perfect work inside the womb. Each one of us represents God's perfect work, knitted together, formed, fearfully and wonderfully made. Each of us, the fruit of the womb. So let's pray, and then we're going to dive into the passage today, if you would. Father God, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for being the giver of life. That, Lord, through mothers, Lord, you granted us all this physical life, and through Jesus Christ, you granted us eternal life. God, as we come to see the fruits, Lord, of what you've brought for us today, God, we just thank you for every one of these moms, grandmoms, great-grandmoms, Lord, all these people, Lord, that you have placed in our life, Lord, that help us to grow and mature. Teach us of wonderful things, how to live, how to laugh, how to love. So God, as we come before you today, thanking you for these mothers, Lord, help us to understand the passage you've given us today. Lord, open our hearts and open our minds. Let us lay aside all the things that we have in store for the rest of the day, Lord, but let us just focus and concentrate on you for just this one moment in time. Lord, we thank you for your son, Jesus, who cleansed us of our unrighteousness, Lord, and gives us the Holy Spirit, Lord, to help us see and feel your presence and be in your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We're going to be in 2 Timothy today. You guys know where that is? It's like all the way over here, just in case you can't find it. In my Bible, it's actually only two pages, so I don't know if you can just like scan over to Hebrews. If you find Hebrews and Titus, you just kind of go a little bit to the left and you should run into it. We're going to be in 2 Timothy, and we're going to read verses 1 through 7 today. And it starts off with this. It says, "Greetings, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, according to the promise, the life of in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my beloved child. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve as did my ancestors, with a clear conscience as I remember you constantly in my prayers, night and day. And as I remember your tears, I long to see you that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now, I am sure, dwells in you as well. For this reason, I remind you to fan into the flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power and love and self-control." What a beautiful passage for us to open and unpack today for Mother's Day. So this letter that Paul's talking about, he actually wrote from his prison. When he wrote it to Timothy, he didn't know if he was ever going to see Timothy again. And so he wrote to express this great fatherly love that he had for him. But in this passage, there's three things that I wanted us to take away today. And that's one, I want us to understand what a clear conscience is, what it means to have a clear conscience. Second, I want to talk about what it means to have a sincere faith. And finally, how and what it means to fan into the flame of the gift of God. So let's start with having a clear conscience. Having a clear conscience, we're going to read verses 2 and 3. It says, "To Timothy, my beloved child, grace, mercy, peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve, as did my ancestors, with a clear conscience, as I remember you constantly in my prayers, night and day." This kind of stunned me when I started diving into this. Because you see, I have a past. And having a clear conscience, knowing I have a past, is hard. I mean, none of us are perfect, right? And all the moms in the room said, "Speak for yourself." When it comes to, I'm sorry, I didn't check with you first on this, but I'm going to say it anyway. When it comes to living in my house, we follow the Mary Poppins rule. Practically perfect in every way. That's my wife. No, seriously. Each of us has our shortcomings, right? And even on our best days, there's obviously times that we think, man, I wish I could have done better. I wish I could have done better. And then I go back and I start looking at Paul's forefathers, and I look at Abraham. And I look at Moses. Ooh. And then David. But yet God loved each one of them, and he put his spirit upon each one of them. And so I have to think that within this clear conscience, it's okay that we make mistakes, but it's also a premise that we know we need to work better. We know we need to do better. I don't think that God ever expects us to be perfect, because he reserved that for one person, and that's Jesus Christ. One person, perfect. So this clear conscience thing, can we stop for a moment and realize that it's not about perfection, but intent? That song that we sang, it said this, it says, "You see my flaws and you still call me friend." Every one of us, right, has an intention to serve God, and we want to do with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And I don't think that any of us in here work to do things with some kind of malicious intent. Amen? That's not who we are. And so I believe that God honors our intentions. Listen to what it says in Romans 6:14. It says, "The sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace." My family, it's because of this grace that we find it so hard to accept that even when we fail trying to honor God, he still loves us. He still wants us to be friends. That's why Paul says, when he says he references prayer as part of having that clear conscience. He says, "I remember you constantly in my prayers, night and day." The power of prayer is what clears the conscience. Listen, I mean, we're talking about mothers, right? Let's talk about the importance of a mother's prayers. The power behind a mother's prayer. We talked about Abraham. You remember the love of his life, Rachel. The love of his life, Rachel. She couldn't bear children, and so she Simon, Dan, Reuben, the concubine, another blah 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 blah, and Rachel still no children. And so she cries out to God, and the Bible says that God listened. God listened, and he opened her womb, and she finally became pregnant. And then, you know who she gave birth to? Joseph. She gave birth to Joseph, who would save all of Israel. And then there was Hannah. Hannah praying so fervently to God that Eli thought she was drunk, and all she wanted was a child. And so God opened her womb, and he gave her Samuel, the last of the judges, the one and only judge who would anoint David and continue the succession of the line of Jesus Christ. The power of a mother's prayer. You know what else moms are good at? Forgetting all the stuff that we've done that causes them pain. They have this gift to love beyond love. They have the ability to forget. And remember, maybe, yeah, but they don't. They don't hold on to it because they love. I put in here, you guys watching the NBA tournament? You guys watching the finals? I was talking to Tony. I said, you guys ever heard of that no-look pass? Where the guy, he'll look one way and he'll pass the other way? You know that was invented by a mom, right? That was actually invented by a mom because mom could like whip, here's up, hip, hit you with a shoe down the hallway. Not even look. It was through moms that the term eyes in the back of the head came about. But then something happened. Then they became grandmas. And that's where the saying came, to turn a blind eye. I love moms. My Aunt Ernie, I gotta tell you this real quick. My Aunt Ernie, man, she used to take care of me in the summers because I'd go up and work on the farm, and that woman didn't have to throw nothing. She had to look. Huh? You know what I'm talking about? You're like, Satan's been born. I love my Aunt Ernie though, man. You know why? Because with that same look that was like death spikes being thrown at you from her eyelids. She had a look that showed love like nobody's business either. Because moms have that too, right? I mean, moms can look at you and you automatically feel warm and fuzzy, man, because you know you're loved when a mom looks at you. It's unfortunate, though, that sometimes we become estranged from our parents or our moms from our kids. We have conflict. But I still believe in God's word. Even in those times when we can't see and we can't, you know, we don't see all this stuff that's going on in the background, I still believe in God's word. Because listen to what he says in Isaiah. He says, can a woman forget her nursing child? That she should have no compassion on the son of her womb. I don't think so. That's why God says, he says, even these may forget, be it I will not forget you. Paul loved Timothy, man. He loved Timothy, but he could never love him as a mother could love. Because as much as we want to be perfect and as much as hard as we try, I still believe God honors our intent. He honors us just for the fact that we're trying. See, so God says, man, he says, don't worry about failing. Don't worry about failing. He says, I can lead you to be better. He says, I never leave you and forsake you. We know this. And he says, my grace is sufficient. All this stuff is the truth of God's word. His grace is sufficient. So it gives us the ability to have this clear conscience of trying to be better husbands, better sons, better daughters, better parents, better Christians. So let's have a clear conscience. Second, I want to talk about having a sincere faith. This is one of my favorite verses. He says, I'm reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now, I am sure, dwells in you as well. The book of Acts, so he talks about his mom and his grandmother. You don't see who he's not talking about? He's not talking about pops. Because see, in the book of Acts, we find out that Timothy's dad is a Greek, so he's not into the faith. So it relies on his mom and his grandma. You guys know that Mother's Day is the third most populous day to attend church behind Easter and Christmas. You know where Dad's Day falls? Yeah. It ranks below Friends Day. It's got the same importance going to church is Independence Day. What's that? that say? It should say something. Because see, right now in the Christian world, there's this battle going on between a bunch of different denominations about where a woman should be and where a man should be. This whole egalitarian thing and complementarianism, it's all being. But you know one role that is dominated by mothers? More so than any other thing, it's in leading their children to faith. Leading their children to faith. In interfaith marriages, 50% of the children's religious beliefs are guided by the mom. If only the mom is religious, well, you can see where that number goes. It just skyrockets. Paul says, I am reminded of your faith, first in your grandmother and then in your mother. Even in the midst of the declining faith today, every one of us can still have an impact on those around us regarding Jesus Christ. Mothers, grandmothers, and for those, and look, I know that there's a bunch of you who are going to be listening to me, and there's a bunch of you who are going to be watching me today, or at some point in time, I want you to hear these words. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up on your kids. If your kids have backslid, or if they haven't accepted your faith, or if they have turned from your faith, don't give up. Don't give up. You see what happened here? Timothy's faith was dependent on his mother and his grandmother. Don't give up. You still have influence. You still have influence. Paul says, have a sincere faith. What does that mean? How about to be genuine without hypocrisy? If we have this, what does genuine faith look like? I fully believe that genuine faith is one where we fully submit to Jesus Christ. Fully submit to Jesus Christ. I'm talking about all in. One for him, which our love pours out and is reflected in everything we do and everything we say. Listen, remember Paul, that cat that wrote like most of the New Testament? Remember his love chapter? He says, without love, what am I? I am nothing but a clanking gong, a noising cymbal. I am nothing and I gain nothing without love. Mothers, you have been gifted something that we could only hope to have. A nurturing, caring, compassionate spirit. You have been uniquely gifted to have someone who has the softness to heal hurts, the understanding to dry tears, and the masterful touch of compassion. Bible says that it's women who teach what is kind. Proverbs, she opens her mouth with wisdom and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. So what does sincere faith look like in 2022? What does it look like now? What does it look like in each of our households? Are we devoting ourselves to the teaching that help us to create and to sustain this sincere faith that we all want and we all need? Are we going to the source that is Jesus Christ? Are we just diving into the well of him to help us learn and grow? That's where our faith comes from, right? Isn't it through Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection, and our belief and acceptance of him as the Son of God, that isn't that where our faith comes from? I mean, it is faith that helps us to see and to believe that God is love. Warren Wiersbe, he said this. He said, faith enables us to understand what God does. Faith enables us to see what others cannot see. And as a result, Faith enables us to do what others cannot do. Would y'all agree with that? Is that kind of on point? Look, I'm standing up here for you guys, and I have seen a number of things in ministry. I have been witness to beautiful, beautiful children who have abandoned their faith and their parents' values. And I have also been on the other side of the coin where I have seen faithful followers and committed believers who came from broken homes and just terrible environments. Would I prefer that Christian parents be able to experience the joy of having their kids live a life that's pleasing to God? Amen. Yes, I would. Yes, I would. But I'm going to affirm that every parent who hears my voice and it's in here today and sees me, if your child has drifted, I love you. And I know God loves you, and He holds you no responsibility for that. He holds the world responsible for it. Keep the faith. And I want to affirm all those people who have come from just broken environments, who have given their life to Christ and have learned to love others. Don't share, don't stop, don't give up on sharing the gift of the Word of God. Listen to what Romans 10:17 says, right? Faith comes from hearing, and hearing comes from the word of Jesus Christ. So let us continue to work towards that sincere faith. Finally, you guys are like, great, man, good. Let's get out of here so I can go get in line. Got Mother's Day to celebrate, right? Heck yeah. Fan into the flame. Fan into the flame of the gift of God. Listen to verse 6 says this. It says, for this reason I remind you to fan into the flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying of hands. For God gives us a spirit not of fear, but of power and of love and of self-control. Just as Paul reminds Timothy, he's also reminding each one of us that we have to fan into the flame of faith that lives within us. Right? We have to fan into this flame. King James Version says we need to stir up the flame. The Greek on that is, wait for it, anazoporeo. Anazoporeo. Comes from two words. Poreo, which means coals. And ana, which means to fan. It stands as a reminder that we go back when we were talking about Pentecost. Remember, he said the Spirit rushed in like a wind, and then fire settled on those. Acts 2:3 says, and fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. I love living here. People always ask me, do you like living in Danville? Yes. Yes, I love it. You know why? Because I get to teach my kid new things. Like how not to be in church. I got to teach him how to build a fire this year because I have a fireplace. Y'all are like, what's the big deal? South Carolina, and Florida don't really have a need for them. It's kind of like having AC in Seattle. Pretty much you don't need it. So I got to teach my son how to build a fire. And I got to show him that when you open the dampers, right, and how the air rushes in and the flame gets hotter and hotter. That when the flame's almost out, even if you just open the door and crack it and let the air rush in, those coals that look like they're dead, all of a sudden they glow red hot. I get to teach him that. Inside of every one of us is that same flame. Some of us, and it was me included, some of us, right? We thought that flame had gone out. We just didn't feel the same way about church. We didn't feel the same way about the Lord. We had gone through so much hurt, and we'd gone through so much in our lives that we had... Where's God? Where's God? Yet the coals of our faith still smolder. And all they are is lying in wait for a fresh wind. Just something to stir them up. Just something that'll reignite them things. Something that will reveal the spirit of power and the love and the self-control. And maybe the life that we've lived has not been fed by the flames. And even we may have even worked to put out that fire. But God is faithful. He has never given up on us. And he says, fan into those flames. Let us fan into those flames. Ezekiel, or the writer of Hebrews, said this. He said, since we have been given a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart, with full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from the guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold on to the let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. For he who's promised is faithful. Tony, I'm gonna start winding this up, bud. I know it's been a difficult couple of years. I know it has. But God has consistently demonstrated his faithfulness. And it started with him sending his son to become the great high priest for us and to us. It is out of God's love that we do not have to fear confessing our failings. We don't have to be ashamed. We don't have to be ashamed. Jesus Christ gives us this incredible thing called hope. And when we fan the flames of faith, our hope is restored. Listen, I'm gonna end this, and then I'm gonna step off, and I'm gonna let them lead us in. Tony, I'm gonna have you lead us in our time of response today, okay? Clarence Jordan was a Greek New Testament scholar and a farmer. Really, the farmer's first over the Greek New Testament scholar. When he looked at this verse where it says, fan into the flames, he said this. He says, I want you guys to hear this. I want you to shake the ashes off of God's given fire that is within you. Will you do that today? As Tony and our team lead us in a time of response, I'm asking you to shake the ashes off the God-given fire that's within you and ignite a new flame.